right, Dr. John Duffy has been here before. He'll be here again. He is a clinical psychologist, best-selling author, certified life coach, parenting and relationship expert, proud husband and father, and author of the number one best-selling book, The Available Parent, which I pick up and read different parts of it very frequently because we all try to be good parents.
We all do.
Oops.
We all do. And if you can pick up on bits and pieces of that, that's great.
All right. So parenting, you know, I thought was going to be really easy.
Sure.
I did not know it was going to be the hardest job I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. It's the toughest job. It's the most important thing any of us are ever going to do, right?
And that pressure kind of weighs on you because you're responsible for shaping and molding these kids.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, and I think for our generation more so than others, parenting is a verb and we take it really, really seriously. Our parents would open a door at 9 a.m. and say, come back at 9 p.m. and hopefully you're intact. You know, now we're very, very hands-on. There's all these diagnostic categories around our kids, and there's all these different school situations. And so it's a much more complicated affair than it once was.
You say we're more hands-on. My mom wasn't really that hands-on, and I turned out okay. Are we helicoptering too much?
Yeah. I'd say,
yes, we are.
Let's make this real simple. I think we are. You know, I think we overparent by quite a bit, actually, you know. And if we can just kind of trust that the messages we send to our kids, by and large, get through to them, and they're going to make some mistakes, but by and large, things work out. And, you know, if you can think long game, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, chances are things are going to work out perfectly fine, and our messages get through. We don't have to sit there and lecture our kids.
Right. I want to bring you into a story that became a national story, and that's this player on the White Sox, Adam LaRoche, who wanted his kid to be with him all the time when he was playing baseball.
Yeah.
Is that a healthy environment for a kid of 14 years old?
I've given this a lot of thought because it seems like such a sweet thing, right? You know,
yeah.
Like this guy wants his kid in the clubhouse, and, you know, and I like the
his
image
best
of
friend.
It. Right, his best friend, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been thinking about it lately and thinking, like, I don't know if that's the healthiest situation for a 14-year-old kid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what message he walks away from. And long term, I've been thinking, like, how does this kid establish kind of a name for himself among his peers other than Adam LaRoche's kid,
right,
who has spent time in the dugout? You
right.
know what I mean? So part of me thinks, you know, on occasion, that seems like not the worst thing. But to be kind of this staple in the clubhouse, I'm not sure what long term that really nets for him. I get that it's cool.
Right.
But, you know, part of me thinks maybe bringing him to work every day isn't the best idea.
Probably better for his development to be hanging out and playing with kids roughly his own age than guys in their 20s and 30s, right? Wouldn't you imagine?
Without a doubt. As shiny and as awesome as it seems like, you know, that you get to hang out with the White Sox all day long.
Yeah.
I think without a doubt, you know, for his socialization and his maturity, the best thing is probably what's happening here. You know, that he's out of that dugout at least a lot of the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And think about it. We can address this in our own personal ways. My son Michael's on WLTL, his high school station. I would maybe want to bring him here once in a while to see how real radio is. But to do it every day would drive Bill nuts. Bill, imagine you like to play tennis. What if you brought one of your daughters to your games
right.
and had her play doubles with you every time?
That would be crazy,
and
right?
And Dr. Duffy, what if you brought your son George to like a session that I was in with you and I'm like, what's he doing here?
Right, exactly.
It affects everyone.
Oftentimes it's just inappropriate,
right.
But it's also a matter of balance. You know what I mean? Because I can imagine, I've thought about what some of the other Sox players might be thinking, like, well, I've got kids and I wouldn't mind having my kids here.
Yes.
Or I'd prefer not to have a 14-year-old in here. This is where I work, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't want to be hard-hearted about it, and I can tell you guys don't want to either. But thinking about the best interest of the kid and the best interest of the team, it makes sense to me to kind of take him out of there at least part of the time.
Yeah.
And aren't you dying to know Drake's take on this? The Onion had something really funny, like Drake is bringing his father Adam to middle school with him every day, and there have been some complaints. And I would love to get Drake's take on this, like, you know, when I know Adam did it when his dad was
his father Dave LaRoche was a player and a coach,
right?
Yeah.
And it's like kind of a family situation, but you know, if your dad says, hey, come to baseball with me all the time, Drake would be like, okay, this is cool, but at some point if he's sick of it, you can't look at your dad and go, you know what, I'm done,
right.
Count me out.
Right.
Yeah. I'd like to talk to Drake 2 months from now and see, you know, like, okay, so now that you're out of there for a while,
right.
Does it feel any different? Do you feel any more connected socially? You
yeah.
know, does it feel better in some ways that you didn't expect?
Yeah.
You know?
And his father made him a target for all these jokes now.
There is that. right? I mean, you know, like he is a headline. Everybody knows who he is at 14 years old. That's a big cross to bear.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very tough. We're going to take a quick break, John. When we come back, and this is a great topic, what parents do when they have tried everything and nothing seems to be working for their child. We'll cover that with you.
Good.
All right. Perfect. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Dr. John Duffy is our guest. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's WGN.
We're talking with Dr. John Duffy. You can find his website, drjohnduffy.com. And we're talking about being a parent. It's a tough job. The Available Parent is a great book that he has written. And how do you get through to your kids? Is that what we're discussing right
now? Yeah, I think that's one of the trickiest things that parents have come to me lately about. They'll say, like, okay, I've gone to conferences, I've read every book, and somehow every technique I try, I'm not getting through to my kids. And to my thinking, and in my experience, the answer is almost inevitably, oh, you don't have any goodwill built up. In other words, when you come to your kid, you're usually admonishing them, telling them what they're not doing right. The garbage cans that aren't brought in, the homework that's not being done, the friends you don't want them to hang out with, but you're not spending time just like hanging out with them, and connecting with them. And if you don't spend any time that way, you're Charlie Brown's mom. I mean, you're not really making any connection,
right?
And without that goodwill established, your kid is at times a crisis, or even not crisis, aren't really going to listen to you. They're really not going to heed your words. So my bias is always to push parents at times when you're not in any crisis to spend a lot of time just connecting with your kid. This is the fun part of parenting. You know what I mean? And we, especially as our kids become teen and tween-age kids, we forget this. We get a little anxious, and then we start bearing down and telling them what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And we spend way too much time doing that, not nearly enough time just connecting. And that's where every technique kind of just bounces right off of them.
Yeah.
God, I am that mom. Mm-hmm. It's always like, you know, why didn't you do that? Why? And then Jimmy Mack goes to C2E2 with them, goes to see Batman versus Superman. He hangs out with them. And then I'm thinking, I never do anything fun with my boys. So Monday I'm taking off. I'm going to do something fun with my boys.
All right.
Maybe they'll go shopping with me.
Maybe.
Possibly. Maybe.
May I suggest the bouncy house? People love a bouncy house.
But see, now and it's not a guy-girl thing, but it's easier for two sons to go hang out with dad. It's tougher to come up with things to do.
For sure. It's a lot easier when the genders are the same. So you sometimes have to be creative. You know what I mean? And you have to meet your kids where they are. Because sometimes even within genders, recently I worked with a dad. He's a football guy all the way through. His kid is a soccer guy, a really, really good soccer player.
Mm-hmm.
But dad's not interested in soccer. And, you know, my point to him was, I'd get into it. You know what I mean? I'd get into soccer because this is going to be his thing. He's not going to be a football guy.
Right.
And this is your opportunity to connect. You want to take it.
But, John, a lot of parents would tell you that if you even said to your kid, I guess mostly a teenager, if you said, let's say you got a kid who's 13 or 14 and you go, hey, you pick the event tomorrow. It's me and you. We do whatever you want. Even though some kids would welcome that, you're going to get a handful of kids that go, yeah, that's what I want, is to spend my day off with you.
Right,
that's
right.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. Most kids would say, especially once they hit, you know, let's say 12, 13, 14, I don't really want to spend any time with you. So then you got to take advantage of moments, not days, you know?
Yeah.
And I work with a lot of parents who say, like, you know, well, I tried to spend, you know, 6 hours with my kid. It didn't work. I've kind of failed as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us aren't going to get 6 hours. We might get a half an hour. We might get 15 minutes in the car. So we got to take advantage of the little opportunities that we get. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we're listening to this song in the car. You picked it. What do you like about it? I can't stand it. What do you like about it? You know, and there's an opportunity for a little connection there. So it doesn't have to be giant and broad. It doesn't have to be a weekend in Disney World.
Right.
And it's probably not going to be, to your point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill makes fun of me because my oldest son, Michael, we go in the basement, plug in the guitars and the PA system, and we jam. And Bill, look at his face. He laughs at me. He goes, what 16-year-old is going to want to jam with their mom? We have these little open mic nights in our neighborhood.
Yep.
And Michael jumps right up. He wants to play with me.
Yeah. All right.
He doesn't believe me. And then Dylan, sometimes I'll sit and we'll play video games for a couple hours because that's something he's into. Now, these are okay, right?
Absolutely. Listen, I
know Keith and Shirley Partridge had a huge success
up
with this, so I know it's not unprecedented.
He really doesn't believe the fact. And I'll do stuff by myself, you know, but he likes to play guitar with anyone, even his mom.
So, you know, I guess to both of your points, I'll try to do a little conflict resolution here.
Let's lay down on the couch, Bill.
Yeah, right. All right. All right. You know, I don't want anybody to presume that they're not going to be able to connect with their kid in some certain way. Because kids surprise you. You know what I mean? Like, they want to connect. They might tell you they don't. They might say, you know, I'm going to my room, leave me alone.
Yeah.
But if you get a moment where it's like, you know, okay, well, let's play this Nirvana song together and see if we can learn it. If you get that moment, take that moment for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I
sure.
run into that with my son sometimes, and I'm surprised. Like, oh, we're actually playing a song together. You know, like, so every once in a while, you hit a home run, or you end up watching a show and you're like, okay, we both like this show, or we both like this music, or, you know, we both like going to Jimmy John's. I mean, you know, it
find
doesn't have
something in common and play off of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We have Kevin who has a question for you. Kevin, we're talking to Dr. John Duffy, the author of The Available Parent. You had a question for him?
Yeah, my son, he just would rather play the video games, and I know, it gives me a headache. So, you know, you say spend time with them and stuff. Sure, we go bike riding every now and then, but he prefers always to play Minecraft and the video games.
Yeah, I understand, Kevin. Your guy is not alone. And my bias would be, I worked with a dad years ago who had this great idea where he struck these bargains with his kid, and he would say, all right, you know what? We will play your video game for a half an hour. The next half an hour, tomorrow night, I get to pick the thing. And they have this kind of playful thing going with each other, and the kid's completely on board. He's like, okay, I got dad playing video games, so I'm willing to listen to his, you know, music from the 70s or, you know, like, play his video game from way back when, or go and get, you know, a milkshake with him. So if
why couldn't I think of that? That sounds like a great idea.
Well, it's tricky. When it's your kid, it's hard to maintain perspective. But
emotion gets involved, gets in the way.
Yeah, it absolutely gets in the way. But if you can take a step back and kind of think kind of really reasonably, if you can get into his video games a little bit and see if you can get him to tell you a little bit about, like, why is he into it? What's he, you know, what does he like about it? Especially if you can't find that, you know, if you can't really figure that out. But also, I would leverage it. I'd say, all right, I pick the next activity and we're in.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, Kevin.
Good luck, Kevin.
Last night after the Hawks, Blackhawks debacle, we were watching the Hawks game. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan started playing NHL 2016 because he wanted to change history and make the Hawks beat Dallas.
Right.
It didn't work, though.
No. You can't change history. You can't.
Somebody called. We were talking about college admissions, and some parent called and said, how important are extracurricular activities? And remember, the woman said, can you put playing video games on the application?
Yeah, right.
Because that's really common. Kids are way into these games.
It's really common. Boys in particular, although I'm hearing more and more that a lot of girls are playing a lot of video games too. I worked with a kid recently who integrated video games into his college essay. I mean, in a really, really clever way that he struggled connecting with other kids directly one-on-one, but when he had the headpiece on and he was talking to kids in Omaha and they were playing Call of Duty together, he felt like, okay, I can connect with these guys. And that was the core of his essay, is he was able to adapt and find a way to connect socially through video games, if not directly.
Do you ever see the show The Middle? There's a character on The Middle, Axel's college roommate, who has been on the show a year and a half. Kenny, they always just show him from behind. He's always playing a video game. He never reacts to anything. He just plays a video game.
Right, right, right.
We all know that kid. Everybody knows that kid.
Absolutely. And we tend to dismiss video games as kind of this one-dimensional, like sitting there watching TV. But if you sit down with your kid and you play a video game for a few minutes, you realize there's a lot going on there. There's a little bit of skill building going on there. There's some socialization going on there. So to kind of just say, you know, this is a terrible part of the culture and I don't want my kid involved and I'll just suffer through the hour he plays.
Right.
We're missing a little something there. Yeah. We can learn a little something from them about what's actually going on.
You said something that kind of made sense to me. If you have a kid who doesn't have a ton of friends or isn't involved in sports, that is their social life, and maybe they don't know how to connect to other people so much. Because, you know, if you have like a group of kids that play football together or baseball together, they're hanging out in like a big herd.
Right, right. Right, but if your kid's, like, you know, not really kind of inclined toward that or doesn't feel like the confidence to do that, it's not altogether maladaptive to connect, you know, sitting in the basement, you know, playing some video games. it's not ideal, but it's better than nothing. Oh, you know, it really is by a lot. Yeah.
So the takeaway, I guess, is find something in common and don't be afraid to do, hey, we did this for an hour, you liked it. Let's do this for an hour, I like it. And just go back and forth.
And,
right?
And eventually we'll just forge this connection. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
That makes sense.
Yep.
That's John Duffy. Again, the book, The Available Parent, and then his website, drjohnduffy.com, is just DR, and then his name, johnduffy.com. Thank you, John.
Thank you guys for having me.
A quick break, some news, and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN.